listening to a sermon from Mission City Fellowship of San Antonio, Texas. Mission City Fellowship exists to make and mature disciples of Jesus Christ who live all of life for the glory of God and proclaim Christ for the joy of all people. If these church resources have been a benefit to you, we'd ask you consider giving to the continued gospel ministry of Mission City Fellowship. You can do that on our website at www.missioncityfellowshipsa.org and click Give.
John 16, verses 12 through 15. Follow along with me as I read God's word. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Let's pray. Lord, we come just like these children. Lord, you tell us to come with a simple faith, looking to you, believing what you have to say. Lord, the same way we see these little kiddos just sitting at the feet, Lord, as I lead them as a little under shepherd pastor, Lord, would we sit at your feet today? Would we hear your words of truth? Would we grow in knowing you and loving you, delighting in you? So Lord, as we talk about the Spirit, as we preach upon the Spirit, Lord, don't let it just be talking about the Spirit. Make yourself known through your Spirit. Be exalted. Glorify yourself. Preach a better sermon than I ever could, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, amen. Amen. We've been in the Gospel of John, and we are at a point that we are just hours away from Jesus being arrested and crucified. And so Jesus has gathered with his closest disciples. It's the 12 minus one. Judas is no longer with them. So it's just the 11. And here's the truth. As he's gathered his little disciples close to him, here's what we do. This is what I love about Sunday mornings. As we're opening the word, we then, it's as if Jesus is gathering us to him as well to listen to his words of truth. So there is a uniqueness about the words he spoke to them that night, but there is definitely application for us this morning. All of these verses have been wrapped up in the call of Jesus for his disciples to abide in him like branches connected to a vine, depending upon him, drinking of him, finding life in him. But the last few weeks, we've heard something unique. It's not merely us trying to cling to him. It's not merely us abiding in him, but it is him clinging to us. Him abiding in us, holding us and drawing us in and sustaining us in him. It's not merely us abiding in him, but he abides in us. And the way he does that, the way he's announcing that this is going to happen, is through the Holy Spirit. Jesus has introduced to these early disciples the way that he will abide in us and us in him is through the Holy Spirit. So that even though he may not be with us physically, even though he may not physically be present among us, he is present with us through his Holy Spirit, whom he calls the Helper, the Paraclete, the Helper, the Spirit of God. So it's good for us to know this. The Spirit is not some power, as Pastor Rob said last week. It's not some force like Star Wars, the Force be with you. The Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity, God the Spirit. And he is the Helper, and he is God with us. We've heard that he is the Spirit of truth. We've heard that he is a witness testifying of Jesus to our hearts and to the world. We've heard that the Spirit the last couple of weeks is convicting people of sin. We've heard that he is convicting them of true and false righteousness. We've heard that he is convicting the world of judgment. And today we hear two more things that Jesus tells us about the Spirit. We just heard in our children's time how street signs and scenic view signs serve to guide us through life. They tell us what we need to know, where we need to go, and even capture our attention to help us look towards what's important. Well, just like that, but in a far greater way, saints, we see that the Holy Spirit guides and he glorifies. He guides us in the way of truth, and he glorifies Jesus above all things. Like that scenic view sign, that was why it's my favorite, that scenic view sign that draws our attention to look at our Savior and be captivated by him. So today, 2 points, if you're taking notes or to help you follow along, 2 points that we find in this scripture. First, the Spirit guides us into all the truth, and the Spirit glorifies Jesus above all things. So first, the Spirit guides us into all the truth, verses 12 through 13. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. In these verses, Jesus recognizes the disciples' need of the Spirit. He has given them lots of instruction, but that alone is not going to get them on their way. He has told them lots of truth, but that alone is not going to get them on their way. He has told them honest, hard things. He's going to die. They may die. He has told them hope-giving things. But apart from the Spirit coming and illuminating their little hearts and minds, saints, illuminating them to what Jesus has said, they are unable to fully grasp all that Jesus is saying. They are in need of the Spirit. That's why they can't bear it all now. That's why they can't take all in that Jesus is saying. And so Jesus says, you cannot bear all the things I say to you now. But Jesus gives a comforting promise to these disciples. When he gives the Spirit, or when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide them into all the truth. First, notice that he says not a truth, not just a blanket general statement of truth. He says the truth. He will guide you into all the truth. Apart from the transforming and illuminating work of the Spirit in our lives, guiding us into all of the truth, we live according to whatever we deem to be true. We sort of make up what we think is true by life experiences, by our own preferences. We make up what we think is truth. And so you've probably heard this. We live in sort of a time where there's this, what's called the My Truth movement, that it hides behind we're just going to respect each other's truth. You have your truth, and you know what? I have my truth. So we all just will have our own truth. Whatever I think is true, well, that's good for you. You think that's true, but I don't think that's true. And so we're just going to go separate ways, and we're going to respect that because it's just a truth. It's not the truth. The problem is, often what we deem to be truth apart from the Spirit is not actually true at all. There is not just a truth in this world, but the truth. And the only way to know the truth is by the Holy Spirit. Scripture talks about you cannot have wisdom. God, Proverbs 2, I was reading this, or Psalm 2, I was reading this. And Proverbs, maybe it was Proverbs 2. Oh no, now I'm forgetting. Go look at either one of those. I think it's Proverbs 2. But wisdom, true wisdom, comes from God above, God alone. He's speaks it. He gives it. And it talks about treasuring it and desiring it more than silver, like precious silver. It leads us into true justice, a true knowledge, true equity is what this psalm says. We cannot know the truth apart from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of truth who guides us into all of the truth, truth about God, truth about ourselves, truth about the world we live in, and even truth about eternity. He says he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit guides us into all the truth that pertains to all of our lives. Later on in John chapter 17, verse 17, in praying for his disciples, Jesus would say this. He would say, and this would be on the screen, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Where do we go to find truth? Your word, Lord, is truth. Truth that comes from God alone. And the Spirit, who is a trustworthy helper sent from God, is not coming to declare something new, saints. That's the big thing, man. Just, I got something new. Got something new. The Spirit's not coming to declare something new or something outside of what the Father and Jesus the Son have declared or would affirm. In these verses, Jesus says the Spirit, he's a humble spirit. Listen to this. He's a servant. He says the Spirit will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. In other words, the truth that comes from the Father, Jesus affirmed and declared, and now the Spirit will affirm and declare what he hears from the Father and the Son to us. He is trustworthy. He will not say something different that God the Father and God the Son would not affirm or declare or have declared themselves. The Spirit always speaks what is true according to the Father and the Son. Hide that in your heart, saints, because there are ministries in this world that are thriving financially because they claim to have something new. And they say things that aren't according to what God the Father and God the Son would affirm or declare. Just be on guard, saints. I think it helps reassure us that we don't need to be hesitant towards the work of the Spirit. He's trustworthy. He will not go rebel on the Father or the Son. He's trustworthy. He declares the heart of the Father and the Son, the truth of the Father and the Son. He is full of truth and trustworthy. And I think it helps us, so that doesn't only reassure us of the true work of the Spirit, but it also helps us discern what is the true work of the Spirit. When we hear someone claiming to be or a truth to live by, or even discerning our own, hear this, saints, even discerning our own thoughts and emotions. Are those true thoughts? Are those true thoughts? Are those from the Holy Spirit that speaks truth, that utters truth to us? Or are those fleshly lies? What is the call of Paul as a scripture in Philippians 4? Fix your mind. Think about what is true. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, if there's anything praiseworthy, think about these things. Why? Because he knows. We are so tempted. The flesh is at war, feeding us lies. The enemy of our souls is at war, feeding us lies. And we are so tempted to believe whatever we feel or think. But we need to discern, is it truth? That's the first battle of the heart and mind. Is this true according to God's word and way versus just what I feel? We often see little kiddos dealing with that. Like, is this true? Your emotions, you're giving into these emotions. Like, everybody just doesn't like me. It's like, you were just playing with 10 kids. But don't we still do that even as adults? We start thinking all these thoughts and we run rabbit trails down those trails and it's not even true. We have to discern what's being said out in the world, what we hear, and we have to discern what we think and feel. Is it according to the Spirit of truth. For these 11 disciples that were with Jesus that night, when the Spirit would come at Pentecost, the words of Jesus that maybe they didn't fully grasp here, the Spirit would help them understand then. It would be fulfilling what Jesus told them in John chapter 14, verse 26, a few chapters back, when he said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." The Spirit would guide them into all the truth of who Jesus is, what his death, burial, resurrection, which was so confusing to them at this point, and ascension, him leaving them, accomplished. The Spirit would help make sense of all of that, of the gospel. They would remember it. They would then declare it boldly, as we heard last week. Rob pointed that out as Peter now stands up. Peter, who was afraid on this side of the cross and now on this side of the giving of the Spirit and the cross, is now declaring this truth, so much so that people were saying, "Aren't these just fishermen and tax collectors? Who are these guys?" And now they're declaring these marvelous truths because God pours out truth through his Spirit. True wisdom, true knowledge, true understanding. There's a scholar, a Bible scholar with one of the seminaries, and just talking about wisdom and just talking about it. This is a royal knowledge. The world is not privy to it, but God gives it through his Spirit to understand the true King, the knowledge of the King. Saints, it's amazing. And that's what happens here. What didn't make sense now begins to make sense. These wonderful mysteries are now being revealed and illuminated, and they understand and they declare it and they write it. We may not be eyewitnesses, but we now have the truth of God's word in its written form because of the Spirit's work in those early disciples, revealing the truth, causing them to remember, declare, and write it. We now have the truth of God's word in its written form, and the Spirit is guiding us to know it, remember it, apply it, understand it, grow in it, and live in light of it. The truth of God's word, as the Spirit illuminates it to our hearts and minds and transforms us in it, we have all that we need to live a fruitful and faithful life in Jesus. Through his word that's inspired by the Spirit. It is so upsetting. I know I've said this kind of stuff, saints, but there are like movements that want to separate Spirit and truth, as if they're opposed to each other. But no, we don't have truth apart from the Spirit. The Spirit is affirming that truth, enlivening us in that truth, enlightening that truth. They work together. They're together. They're partnered together. We'll hear more of this, saints, but they're partnered together. Through the Spirit guiding us in the truth of God's word, we learn who God is. We learn who Jesus is. We learn why he had to die. We learn what he accomplished on the cross, all the wondrous good we gain from what Jesus did. And we're instructed in how we then live in light of all of that truth. The facts of God's word teaches, compels, convicts, corrects, comforts, and encourages us in the faith. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God. You hear that? The Spirit's work there. Spirit's there. Spirit's inspiring. The Spirit's compelling. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Saints, no wonder there can be times in our lives when it can be so challenging to stop, sit, and read the scripture. No wonder it can be so hard. It's the word of truth. It's the truth. It is the guide. It is the spirit at work there, bringing it to life in our hearts, supernaturally tied to the word. No wonder it's so hard to go to the word. We had the young adults over last Sunday, or no, I don't even remember at this point. It's been a whirlwind. I think it was last Sunday. And that was one of the conversations. So what do we do when we struggle to go to the word? Well, let's remember this. It is the truth. It is the only means in which we know the truth. No wonder it can be so challenging. You better believe that we have a flesh that detests it and an enemy that hates it. The flesh would rather guide us into the lies of the world and the devil that leads us to the pits of death than submit to the guiding of the Spirit and the truth of God that leads to life. There's a battle, saints. I've heard it said. I'm sure you've heard it said. I may have been one of my favorite guys. Old John Piper, and I love that guy. I think I heard it there. But how we often can approach the word, and I think. There's times for this, so don't hear this. This isn't like we're not putting more law on people, but we kind of do the cruise ship mentality. Like, what do you do on a cruise ship? You're kind of just chilling. You're kind of just there, relaxed, kick your feet up, get some tan going, enjoy the food, a little pina colada or something, and then you kind of just open the word and enjoy it. Like, I think that's good. I hope if anybody has done that recently or is about to, go for it. But we kind of live our lives in the faith that way. And we forget, this is a battle. There's a battle here. We're talking about the truth of God's word. And so there is going to be resistance to go to the truth. There's going to be a battle there. It's not cruise ship. This is a battle. You got to fight for it. You got to go. It's not just going to happen. It's just not going to fall into your lap. We got to press on towards it. We got to lean in and go towards it. And how do we lean in? Here's how I think we lean in. We pray and we trust. We pray. This is not just you mustering this up. Well, I guess I just got to read more Bible. I didn't do that today. No, saints. We need to pray for the Spirit's help to get us to the Word. We need to pray and ask for the Spirit's help. Help us get there. Compel, urge, strengthen, encourage. Help me get to that word of life, to drink and to eat it. It's food for my soul. I need it. Spirit, help me. I think we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. We sort of just live life like there is no Spirit. There's no Spirit helping. There's no Spirit encouraging. There's no Spirit ready to strengthen, but it's God's gift. He is God's gift to us to help us. Saints, go to that help. Pray to read. Saints, pray to pray. Help me, Holy Spirit, to pray. Help me to pray according to your heart, your desires, your will, your word. Help me, strengthen me. And then when you get to the word, Spirit, enliven me through it. Let me just trust. I may not have to just read something that's going to just stir my emotions right away or something, but help me just in the faithful, ordinary means of grace of reading your word. Spirit, meet me in that supernaturally. Apply your word to my heart. Enliven me. Though I am wasting away outwardly, Lord, enliven and renew me inwardly. We need the Spirit's work. Are you depending upon the Spirit? Are you asking God for help through his Spirit? And then you trust. You trust that the Lord's meeting you in this. He's filling up the heart for what's needed. He's filling up the mind with truth for what's needed to be faithful, to exalt him. It may not lead you to crying every morning at your coffee and your highlighters there. It may not lead you to all of a sudden being stirred, but he's faithfully filling you up for what is needed. He's giving and imparting the grace needed for the day. Amen? He's imparting the grace needed through that ordinary means of grace, the Word. How often have you struggled to go to God's Word, but then you do, and the Lord uses it for your good or for the good of others, maybe even that day? How often has that happened? I'm sure all of us would give a hearty amen to that one, right? That's probably happened all the time. As you're speaking to a friend, the Spirit causes you to remember the Word, just like these disciples, to remember it. And he pulls it out of the well of your hearts. That's what the picture is like. It's almost as if these water wells, these old water wells, where they would put the bucket in and drop it all the way down and dig out the well or pull up the water that's needed. It's like the well of our hearts when we go to the Word by the Spirit fills up. He puts living water. He puts the truth of God in our hearts and lives ready. And he is ready to pull that up when needed. He's ready to pull it up whenever you're having a conversation with a friend or a brother or sister who's struggling. And oh, that truth, here it is. And he pulls it up to pour out, to refresh and give life. Or you, for your own heart or mind. All of a sudden, he reminds you of that truth. And he pulls it out and he pours it out for your good. Trust that that's what's happening. Trust. This is why we never want to stop as pastors encouraging us as a church that in our prayer times or Sunday gatherings or maybe even throughout the week, that should someone come to mind or should a scripture come to mind, don't just chalk that up to a wayward thought. The Spirit is at work, pulling out of the well of our hearts to apply his Word and life and truth to the saints, to edify the body. And so we would encourage you, don't hesitate to share that with someone. Don't hesitate to share that scripture with someone. He puts somebody on your heart, pray for them, reach out to them, ask how you can pray for them, send them a scripture that maybe the Lord puts on your heart, text them. It may very well be the compelling of the Spirit of God, building God's church, edifying the saints, guiding us into all the truth. Here's what we've seen. As you have begun to walk in this more faithfully, regularly, not just chalking it up that, oh, I just had this person come to mind. Well, I'm just going to move on. No, as you have walked in that and said, I'm going to reach out to that person. Here's what I have heard. Testimonies of the saints. Man, the Lord met me in that. This brother reached out to me. He said he was praying. I came to mind. He reached out. And it was a timely encouragement because I'm going through this. Amen. It has happened over and over and over again in our church. May it keep happening. May it keep happening. The Spirit is at work, guiding us into all truth, even caring for one another in that truth. We need the guidance of the Spirit into all things. So we need the Word. Go to the Word often, and I'm going to use this word, go often and go desperately, saints. Go to the Word often and go desperately. You need it. We need his Word. We're little sheep who are hungry, and he's ready to feed us upon his words of life. Peter says, where else can we go, Lord? Where else can we go? Saints, there is nothing in this world that will feed you like the Word of God. Oh, we need it more than the bread I'm going to eat. I need your Word, Lord. Enliven me through your Word. Spirit, do your work. Apply it to my heart. Refresh, revive me in your Word. Saints, may we go to the Word of God, depending upon the Spirit, desperate for God's enlivening, desperate for and prayerful and dependent. The Spirit is guiding God's people into all the truth, but he's not just a guide who is guiding us into a knowledge of Bible verses. Sometimes we treat him that way. He's not just a guide guiding us into a knowledge merely of Bible verses. The Spirit's guidance ultimately leads us to a deeper understanding and appreciation of our Savior. He's revealing Jesus to us. He's revealing the very Word become flesh to us. Jesus himself, he is on a mission. Let me say it like that. He is on a mission in the midst of his guiding to glorify Jesus. He wants to direct our attention to see and know Jesus and grow in delighting in Jesus. Our second point, the Spirit glorifies Jesus above all things. Jesus says of the Spirit in verse 14, he will glorify me. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Again, Jesus emphasizes that the Spirit is not doing his own thing. He's not ever going to be doing something opposed or outside of God the Father or God the Son. Instead, just as Jesus glorified the Father in his life ministry, so now the Spirit's aim of ministry is to glorify Jesus. He takes all that Jesus is, all that is him, who he is in person and word and deed, and he longs to make it known to us. That is the greatest passion. Hear this, saints. That is the greatest passion and highest aim of the Holy Spirit, to glorify Jesus. That is it. Going back to the illustration for our children's time before the sermon, he is the scenic overlook view sign. He is the scenic view sign. The sign, it doesn't declare, stop and look at me. Look at how beautiful of a sign I am. No, the sign says, stop and look at something so amazing. Don't keep going by here. Stop and look at something so wonderful, so awe-inspiring. Look at those mountains, right? Look at that valley. Look at that canyon and be captivated by its greatness. And you see cars pull over and park to look and be captivated. But in a far greater way, the Spirit is always at work to wonderfully interrupt our lives like those signs. As we're just making our way through the hills and valleys of life, and he stops us and grabs our attention. Isn't that what, like the first day you knew him, you looked upon him? But he's still doing that. He doesn't stop grabbing us and stopping us and saying, no, look over here. I know you're concerned with that over here. I know you're looking over here. You're distracted by that. Stop and look this way. Don't go by. Look over here. Look at not just something, but someone. Look at someone so amazing, so wonderful, so awe-inspiring. Look at your Savior. Look at him and all that he is, and be captivated by his goodness and greatness. He does that work from the first moment we ever turn to look at Jesus, and he continues to do that work in the daily life of the Christian. It is the come and see ministry of the Spirit. We've titled the series, Come and See, that you may believe and have life in Jesus. This is the come and see ministry of the Spirit causing us to look upon Jesus and love him, causing us to look upon Jesus and trust him, causing us to stop and look and say, for turning from all other delights and saying, look at him and delight in him. It is the greatest passion and highest aim of the Holy Spirit, to glorify Jesus above all things. Saints. And he's working and laboring to the end that it would be our greatest passion and highest aim to glorify Jesus above all things. J.I. Packer, who is a scholarly guy who has served the church at large for a long time, is no longer with us. He wrote a book called Keep in Step with the Spirit. And here's a quote from there. a different illustration he uses that is so good. He says this, this will be on the screen. The essence of the Holy Spirit's ministry at this or any time in the Christian era is to mediate the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, a matter of the Spirit doing whatever is necessary for the creation, sustaining, deepening, and expressing of our relationship with Jesus. When floodlighting is well done, the floodlights are so placed that you do not see them. You are not, in fact, supposed to see where the light is coming from. What you are meant to see is just the building in which the floodlights are trained. The intended effect is to make it visible when otherwise it would not be seen for the darkness, so that you see it properly. It is as if the Spirit stands behind us, throwing light over our shoulder on Jesus, who stands facing us. The Spirit's message to us is always, look at him and see his glory. Listen to him and hear his word. Go to him and have life. Get to know him and taste his gift of joy and peace.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sadly, there are lots of people in this world that make claims of the work of the Spirit, but it's self-exalting. It's self-exalting. And maybe doesn't even match what God's Word says, what the Father and the Son would have affirmed or declare. And it may even direct people's attention away from Jesus. This is so sad. A while back, I heard a pastor, a well-known pastor, and I'm not going to draw attention to them, but he was speaking on the Spirit, and I wanted to see what he had to say. And this is what I heard. He said, I'm seeing all these churches talk about how they're Christ-centered. He said, that's why I think they're not seeing the Spirit move in all these ways. And he said, we need more Spirit-centered churches. What this man was saying is the opposite of what Jesus himself says of the Spirit. He will glorify me. The Spirit wants the church to be all about Jesus. The Spirit wants the church, their greatest passion, their highest aim to be to glorify Jesus above all things, states. In him you have salvation of your souls. In him you have life abundant. In him you have joy that is otherworldly. In him you have an eternal inheritance. And the Spirit says, look and see and be glad in your Savior. So here's a word of discernment. I don't do this often, but we're pastors. We got to care for the sheep here. Here's a word of discernment. If something or someone, because I'm seeing this, we're living in a world that is way more spiritual. I've talked to one time recently, I was talking to a waiter and they said, well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Well, who are you praying to? That's dangerous. It's definitely not the Holy Spirit you're interacting with. We live in a world that's far more spiritual in these ways. So here's a word of discernment. If something or someone is claiming to be doing the work of the Spirit, but it does not align with the word of Christ, and it doesn't result in the glory of Christ, and it doesn't stir on our faith in Christ, and it doesn't direct our affections towards Christ, and it doesn't compel us to live for Christ, be on guard, because it may not be the Holy Spirit's work. Be on guard. That's just a word of discernment. If the Spirit is truly at work among us, what do we hear? It will show by our passion to exalt Jesus. If the Spirit is at work among us, Jesus is high and lifted up among us. Not a man, not personalities, not people, Jesus. Jesus is lifted high among us. The Spirit is at work. Our joy becomes enlivened in him. We don't grow tired of singing about him or talking about him or hearing about him. We find comfort in him. And saints, we so should desire and long for that. We should long for the Spirit to do this work among us. It doesn't mean, because I think this is the other side of the coin, it doesn't mean we make little of the Spirit. Sometimes then we go on an act and we treat the Spirit like he's nothing. We demean the Spirit. We treat him poorly. He is still God the Spirit. The third person of the triune God of the universe, God with us. He is deserving of honor and respect and our thankfulness. And Scripture even tells us that we are to earnestly desire the work of the Spirit among us. So here's how I think we can respond to this truth, saints. As we close, we should seek and desire and ask the Spirit through prayer, ask God through his Spirit to do this work among us and in us, to glorify Jesus among us, to show his power and his presence and his glory, his goodness and his greatness in our church, in our homes, in our habits, treasuring Jesus in our habits, saints, in our enjoyments, in our relationships, to make his glory our greatest priority, to make his glory our greatest passion and our highest aim. Asking the Lord to do this among us through his Spirit, and we do that through prayer. Let me ask you, as we're closing here, what is, when you look at your life, I think we have to ask these questions. What would others say your greatest priority is right now? When I'm around that person, all they ever talk about is what? When I'm with that person, all I ever hear is what? Or better yet, let's work it inward. When I'm around other people, what do they only hear me talking about? When people are watching my life, what do they see as my greatest passion? What is my highest aim? Is it work? Is it just to have a good-looking family? Is it to maybe be in shape, exercise, enjoyment? Maybe it's comfort. Maybe it's pleasure. Maybe it's your own time. Maybe it's even family. Family's a great thing, but Jesus is better. Maybe it's schooling. We just got to do school, and we just need to know we're doing school, and my kids are smart, and I want them to quote Bible verses at church. But Jesus, them knowing Jesus is far better. Know the Bible verses, that's great. But let them know Jesus most of all. And what you watch, is this leading? I want to be careful there. What would people say? Is Jesus my highest aim and my greatest passion? The odds are for all of us, it's no, including the guy talking. But don't we want him to be? Don't you want him to be, saints? Yes. The Spirit must do this work in us. It's not mustered up by us. The Spirit must convict. The Spirit must compel. The Spirit must enliven that we are in desperate need of this. It's the Spirit. If that's the Spirit's greatest aim, then what do you think he's doing in us? He wants that to be our greatest aim. Saints, can we, here's a question for you. Can we desire this together as a church? This isn't the most passionate of us. This isn't the most outgoing of us. This is just wanting Jesus to be glorified and exalted among us above all things. Can we desperately desire the Spirit to do this in us together? And how do we pursue that together? One heart, one mind, one voice, one Spirit. We go to the Lord and ask, do this in us. Do this in our church. Do this in our fellowship groups. Do this in our conversations. How can I make Jesus known to this precious brother or sister? You're suffering. You're going through hard moments in parenting. Let me remind you of the care of Christ. Let me remind you of the wonderful finished work of Jesus' sake and his ongoing empowering work, his ongoing sustainment. Let me remind you. Let me just carry you to Jesus. Know him. Oh, saints, would this be our greatest passion? Would this be the highest aim of this church? Spirit, work among us. Edify the body. Glorify Jesus. Guide us into all truth.